Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again, and thankfully, Stamps.com can ease the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off of priority mail. That is an amazing amount of savings, and it really adds up, especially if you have a small business like Gas Digital. We use Stamps.com for everything here at Gas Digital. Anything that we need to send out, we're using Stamps.com. We save money on the postage because they give us the best rates available, and they make it really easy as well because they automatically calculate and print the exact amount of postage you need for every letter or package. When you sign up for Stamps.com through the Real Ass Podcast, they're going to actually send you a free digital scale as well. So you'll know the exact amount of anything you're going to send, the exact amount of money you have to spend on it. You're never going to overpay for postage ever again.
Okay? And if you're a fan of this show and the shows on the network, chances are you also probably need a digital scale.
That is also true. You know what? You could double use that digital scale, guys. All right? Who knows? Here's the deal. Right now, if you go to stamps.com, okay, use the promo code RAP. If you click on the microphone on the top corner of the page, use the promo code RAP, you're going to get a 4-week trial plus free postage and that free digital scale, okay? 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale just for trying it out, okay? You will save so much money, so much time. Think about the amount of time you spend walking through the streets of New York City or LA or wherever you're listening to this at, driving in traffic, getting on a subway just to get to a post office. It's a goddamn nightmare. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go to the post office and have to hang out at the post office for a while and mingle with strangers. That is not a convenient thing. Stamps.com lets you do all of that from the comfort of your home or office. Once again, go to stamps.com and enter the promo code RAP. You get a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the Real Ass Podcast.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Thank Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Jamming out to the Rent soundtrack and you're clipping it up.
Sorry about that.
Fucking asshole. This is a long intro, though.
Especially when you play it twice.
Yeah. Bring it down a little, too. It's a lot. It's a little loud. The piano's mad trebly. Nigga, is this just the musical group? Are you looping this? No, there's no way this is the regular version. There's no way it's this long. Oh, there we go. Crushing. Turn it off. I don't know what's going on. I don't like the audio. I don't like the way it sounds. Just turn it off.
Fuck. I'm sorry. We actually Googled a version where somebody had a tape recorder in their pocket at the theater.
What the fuck is that?
Fucking numbskull.
Where's Shannon? I've never in my life thought I'd want to bring Shannon back for production needs.
I apologize.
Bum bitch.
Fucking I have it if you want to go to
sucking dick on a boat right now. God damn it. Why can Bobby be sucking a dick on a boat and Shannon be fucking up the intro?
Well, Bobby's sucking a dick here in the producer.
God, go with the actual one. I want to hear it now. What the fuck was that? It's like some asshole remixing it.
525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments.
What is this?
It's from Rent.
Fuck, I gotta see that.
Yeah. Well, they did it last night. It was supposed to be live on Fox. And apparently the guy who played Roger broke his foot during a dress rehearsal. So there was
they canceled it?
No, it was live to tape.
Yeah, included tape segments from that dress from the dress rehearsal. Oh, yeah. It wasn't the actual... It wasn't live, so people are pissed off about it. I turned it on for a minute last night. I'm a nerd. I'm a low... Under the radar theater nerd.
Same with me. Not theater, but I've nerd out on other things. And I like there's plenty of times where I watch Moana and all my daughter's cartoon movies. I enjoy the stories. Like I just watched Brave for the first time about like, you know, like the Scottish, you know, like it's like female empowerment.
They made that's a new thing with every fucking movie now is female empowerment.
Every character is female empowerment. I mean, listen, I care and I don't care. I mean, I care. I got a daughter, but it's like I could see it. I don't want to be able to see it coming from a mile away. I want you to surprise me with your
empowerment.
Once
in a blue, maybe one out of every six films making about female empowerment. Not every. It doesn't need to be fucking. We get it. Frozen. Yeah. There's no hero.
Yeah,
there's
Joan
no...
of Arc. She existed. You know, she was one in fucking. That was 5,000 years ago.
Harriet Tubman. Who are some other bitches who did some good
Florence
shit?
Florence Nightingale.
Okay. Yeah. Who? What?
Beyonce,
Ronda Rousey. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that have changed
that's
the world.
A big dip, by the way. Harriet Tubman to Ronda Rousey in three names.
By the way, I think Ronda Rousey would dump Harriet Tubman on her dumb head.
Yeah. Oh my God, Ronda Rousey. Yeah.
They should have put fucking Ronda Rousey in charge of those.
She walked
slaves.
Past me once in a flight. She smelled so good.
Oh really?
Yeah. Giannis claims that he had a chance with her. I would have loved to have seen him try.
Why did
just
Giannis
get his fucking dumb face broken?
Why did Giannis think he had a chance with her?
I don't know. He just said that he did a thing with her once, and he was like, "I felt like she was checking me out." I'm like, "No, she wasn't.
Yeah, no.
You look like a woman." Giannis looks from the back. Giannis Pappas looks like. He has a lesbian head.
Especially considering that Ronda Rousey is married to Travis Brown, who is a very large, scary mixed martial artist, heavyweight fighter. So it's like, I'm not saying that Giannis would be... Here, pull up Giannis. There we go. You pull up Travis Brown. Put them side by side. See how they compare.
I got no hair product in today. What do you guys think? Look at that. You like that?
You look good, doggy.
Thank you.
You always look good. You're fucking...
You think I'm a handsome kid?
You're a handsome fucking...
I appreciate
you're a sexy
it.
Sexy bitch, dog.
Yeah.
You know what fucks up? You also like...
Giannis looks like Katie Lang.
I said this to Giannis before. There's Travis Brown and then Giannis.
Oh, yeah. He'll hurt some... Oh, my God. How great would that be? I would love for Giannis just get his fucking glasses broken.
Giannis looks like the type of lesbian that would have no lines on Orange is the New Black. He's just behind somebody nodding.
I told Giannis this. He looks like Ty Lopez.
Yeah.
He looks just like Ty Lopez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's annoying, but.
Giannis? Yeah, I agree.
I hope he comes today.
He might pop in today. I hope he might pop in today. Giannis. You guys have your podcast. Let's plug that really quick. You guys have your podcast, The History Hyenas.
Yes, we do.
Available on the Gas Digital Network. Go subscribe on iTunes and elsewhere, wherever you find podcasts. Anything else you want to plug real quick as we get into this crazy show that we're about to get into?
I got a special, one-hour special that just came out on Comedy Central called Size 38 Waist. It came out last Friday. Now it's on Comedy Central On Demand. It's on iTunes, it's on wherever you can buy it, you know, your app, the Comedy Central app.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Amazing. They said amongst specifically it failed in every category except they said specifically white males between the ages of 18 and 35, it had the most ratings in 2 years.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So
you're speaking to the people that watch television.
yeah. But every other category it dipped. What are you gonna do?
Wait, so they tell you the demographics like that?
Yeah, I got an email like breaking down specifically what it was.
Why would they tell you the bad stuff? I'd be like, just tell me. I would tell my agent, be like, just send me the good part.
They just forward.
It came out, Lewis.
Yeah. They just forwarded me an email with like, this is what, these are the numbers. So
that's also what they told me when my son was born. I was smoking a blunt. go ahead.
No, so that's just what they didn't tell me anything. They just forwarded me the email. Here are the ratings. So I looked at it and I figured it out.
Okay, so you
so I had the email and I was like, okay, this is what went up, and then everything else was just slowly went down.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you gonna do?
Who
you know,
gives a shit?
I just feel like nowadays it's like if I put my special out, if I put clips of it on Instagram, one of those could go viral, and that would change my career quicker than in a whole hour special in one place.
Well, that's kind of the, you know, Andrew Schultz is talking about that a lot.
Absolutely.
Lately, about how he, you know, that's, and I just shot my special and I'm putting it out in April independently.
Good.
I think that the having control of that content is, you know, the probably the best way to really reap the benefits of it. But Comedy Central cuts you a fat paycheck.
You get fans
that have never seen you before
it's
just a different model. It's not, one's not better than the other. People talk shit on Comedy Central. It's like, oh, it gets buried. It's like, no, dude.
No.
You get a lot of fucking fans.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes. It's on Comedy Central On Demand.
There were billboards everywhere. Like, it helped.
Yeah, you're getting legit. You have a major network that is putting you, that is, you're using the power of their publicists and their promotion. It's a your level bumps up with each one of those things.
I went, not that it's that it's not like a monetary benefit, but I believe, you know, you turn people into fans, and then indirectly it turned into a benefit financially for me and just my fan base. My Instagram went from 102,000 to 119,000. That's a big jump
just
in
overnight.
A week. Yeah,
that's
well,
crazy.
Yeah, six, seven days because, you know, my special came out. They put me on all the podcasts.
20,000 people
that's
is huge.
That's a lot, you know. And now I notice when I put something out, it's all these new fans.
Yeah.
You know, they're like.
But that becomes your responsibility
exactly.
to parlay that into the next thing. You have to keep them, you know.
Yes.
And I think the people that talk shit on the Comedy Central model are people that don't have the ability to keep their fans.
Exactly. Like Sebastian Maniscalco, who's obviously huge now, told me 2 years ago, he said when his special came out on Showtime, it did well, but it kind of came and went. It wasn't until he illegally. Against Showtime's, you know, wishes. Same thing with Bert Kreischer, said the same thing. He spliced it up and put it out on his own YouTube and his own social media, and now they both sell out wherever they go.
Yeah.
Because they put it on the forum that people, you know, if you don't have a big podcast or a big social media, good, you're not going to make it in this business anymore.
Yeah,
nobody cares about late night.
It's
like,
kind of crazy.
The people I've been working with, like, oh, you got to clean it up and get a late night set. It's like, I don't, if you're not going to let me showcase my comedy the way I want it to be showcased, what do I care about your late night set? I'd rather come on a podcast and be me, or I'd rather put my own content. I mean, dude, if fucking Joe Rogan or Chris D'Elia reposted one of my things, that's I have more viewers right
way more
there
value.
than if anything I could do on The Tonight Show in 2019.
I agree.
It's still great, but it's like you have to do it. You can't like – I don't want to fucking show some cornball version of my comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it has no benefit anymore.
So the other thing, I heard Doug Stanhope talking about this. I guess he was saying that he's thinking about reshooting his old specials that he doesn't own.
Wow.
So Comedy Central owns that. Set that night, that content.
Right.
They don't own the jokes.
For a specific amount of time, they own it. Not
the jokes, too?
Not in perpetuity. It's like a specific, my contract was specific. They only can play it a specific amount of times, and then I get it back to put it on my own YouTube.
You technically. Oh, so you actually get the actual special back.
That was
huge.
I thought about it,
huge.
You know, because I had spoken to Sebastian, like I said, 2 years ago. They offered me this special a year ago. So I was like, look, I'll do it, but can we have these? And they said, sure.
That's great. What's the time limit?
I believe it's a year.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so
that's the fucking that's the best way to do this. So I think that's what Bobby Kelly did with his as well.
Then,
because his was on Comedy Central, and then they put the same special on Netflix, right?
I believe they did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it's like I think that's the way because if they, you know, I mean, look, they aired it once Friday at 11 and maybe a couple of repeats, so nobody's going to see it there. The only shot I have is if I own it or I have cut a deal with them where they put it out on their social media and splice it up for me, which they have. I have clips on my Instagram.
They should do the specials live. Comedy Central.
Like Brian Regan.
Yes, Brian Regan's. Yep. Because it gives you that anything could fucking happen moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, it's a very special type of person that can do it live. They can edit it down for the special that, you know, goes out. It really makes you have to be on your game. And then it also adds.
It makes an appointment television.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to go. Like, nobody's watching a replay of the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If they know they get to watch, you know, UFC events as well, that one time they're getting to be a part of it live. Like, there's people right now that are listening to this show live. That means something to those people that they're a part of it live. Speaking of which, if you are listening live, 573 Gasline, if you want to chime in at any time. And talk shit. It can be good or bad. We don't screen our calls on this show. You could literally tell me right to my fucking face that you hate me. And that'll be a call that we'll take. We don't
love
fuck.
It.
Fuck it, right?
Dude, fucking love it. 573
Gasline. If you guys love the show, 350 episodes available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. We have every episode we've ever done. The latest 15 episodes are always available on iTunes and YouTube. But everything on demand is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. It also comes out 5 days before it goes to iTunes. Ad-free, uncensored content, the live chat, and more. Use the promo code RAP when you check out. Get yourself a 14-day free trial for Gas Digital. Why not?
Hell yeah.
Why not, doggy? I was watching that Rent broadcast last night. I was in musical theater when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I was in a bunch of plays. And it's some nerdy fucking shit.
Dude, but it's like, you know what? It's nerdy, but like, I mean, I knew a lot about sports and I could have tell you, you know, every player on the Yankees ever. That's nerdy. It's just a different.
It's a different nerdy.
But it's the same type of behavior. Like, you know, it's just one's more acceptable as manly. The other one's not.
Yeah.
Now, to be honest with you, for some reason, I'm like I love sports, but like, I can't tell you how many times I'm watching, instead of watching, you know, Yankees or the Giants or whatever my favorite teams are, I'm watching some documentary, some history documentary, some nature documentary, some documentary about serial killers where like back in the, I've changed. So, you know, you want to watch shit about musicals, man. It's like, you morph it into a, you know,
yeah, but you know what I mean?
Higher being.
Yeah, you're right. Well, not look. I this is even when I was in high school, but I didn't like musical theater in high school because I was a nerd. I liked it because I wasn't supposed to like it. I was. It was supposed to be like. The kids that like I right. hung out with were like, that's some fucking gay shit.
Sure.
All the hood kids I hung out with, even like the fucking like more like I hung out with like, you know, goth, not goth, but like, you know, more like
were they guys or not really? Or were they like the nerdy, like
they were kind of fucking nerdy, but even that was a little too nerdy for them. Drama Society, that's right. some fucking crazy
well,
shit.
Well, drama, once you get to Drama Society, then it's not nerds, then it's gay. Then it becomes
I
gay
was a homosexual.
To exactly.
Exactly.
Like Dungeons and Dragons are nerds, but drama theater is yeah. associated with being gay.
But I'll be honest with you, those theater kids would fucking suck and fuck each other more than anybody else.
Absolutely, yeah. dude.
They were ready to rock.
They were ready to live, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. They were, I think they call it pansexual now, where they just have sex with anything.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit.
That's like the new term for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Looking back, I wish I would have done more theater, man, because it's like, it's fucking, it would be a good skill to have right now.
Yeah. I wasn't good. I was just, the problem is that the people that were doing it, you know, when nerdy little gay kids are doing it,
right.
they don't own the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was always good at like, when I would, because you'd have to audition for these musicals, I was good at sort of like going in and just being confident. I wasn't good.
Right.
I wasn't good at the monologue and I wasn't good at the song and dance, right?
Right.
But I was good at fucking being really confident and kind of having presence. So I would get booked in roles over guys who really gave a fuck.
Which is interesting because nowadays it's like in comedy specifically, stand-up comedy specifically, it's like if you have stage presence and jokes, it's almost looked at as like hacky, where if you're just like this unassuming nerd guy who's got like a punchline, yeah. you know, a couple punchlines in a TED Talk, you're a genius.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that like it's flipped now. It's like somebody who goes out there and crushes – you know, with all stage presence and comedy is looked at as like, oh, I don't know. That's
we look at Sebastian. Like nobody in New York cares about Sebastian because he's so much presence. He's like yeah. this big fucking theater act. And it was incredible when I watched it.
Sure.
It was fucking incredible. It was like, yeah. I was so inspired by watching yeah. like his little movements and just yeah. how the little subtle, it was choreography. So he'd like hit the stage and he'd hit a punchline and his foot would fucking hit a turn in this yeah. exact moment where you know that's choreographed. That's part of
sure.
the act, the way he's accenting everything. And it was really, you know, it was pretty cool to watch. But in New York, you can't really get away with that. You got to be Dave Attell. You got to sit there and act like you don't care.
Well, and it's interesting how PC comedy and entertainment has become because overwhelming feedback on my special. Like I'm talking about 100 messages saying relatively the same thing. Hey, you're special. You have so many balls. You have so much balls. I can't believe
you have so many balls.
How many testicles do you have? No, they said you got such big balls. You are I can't believe you imitated Puerto Rican people. I can't believe you took that chance as a white yeah. guy. It's like, what? I'm imitating my daughter
yeah.
who's half Puerto Rican and you think that's taking a risk? Like, yeah, what do you mean?
Well, they're
but that's
not
how,
used
but that's
to
how
now.
PC it's becoming. Like some of the, and I'm like, it's a weird place where I've just made a choice to be like, fuck it, man. Like, I'm just going to do my comedy. And if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, I don't care. I'm not going to conform to this bullshit. Like,
well, because you're not going to be able to be the best you. You're not going to be comfortable.
Well, because I feel like so many comedians now are just funny because of 2019 parameters. And they just yeah. have a career because I don't want to be that guy. I want to be somebody that you're like, oh, Chris's comedy could have held up in 1999 or 2039, not
agreed.
Just some 2019 thing. So, and a yeah. lot of people are getting that. And, you know, I just don't want to be that guy.
We're being trained now. It's a weird thing. I watched, I went to go see Book of Mormon with my girlfriend.
Great.
A week ago. And I saw the same play like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And even in the 6 year time that I mean, maybe it's just two different audiences, so it could be somewhat, subjective to this situation. But I mean, the difference between, I mean, they do one song, you know, it translates to fuck you, God. It's like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you saw it?
Yeah, I've seen Book of Mormon, yeah.
Yeah, Asa Daba Dibaway or whatever mm-hmm. it's called. And I mean,
fucking babies.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, they talk about raping babies.
Yeah, it's like, give them AIDS.
It's
and
great.
It's crazy.
So they do this play, and the first time I saw it, the audience was going fucking nuts, dude.
Sure.
They were so, it was like, and this time you just saw, like, they finished that song where they're like, you know, the last line is fuck you, God, in the S, mouth, and cunta.
Yeah.
The Africans are all singing fuck God
yeah.
because life is so bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the audience was just like, you know, half clapping at the
it's
end
weird.
Of it. And they're trained, and it's undeniably hilarious, but
yeah.
they go, oh, shit, I can't laugh at this. I feel bad. I'm supposed to be upset about it. Not only
right.
am I not going to laugh at it, but I'm supposed to be upset. So they're training themselves to hear certain words and get upset and not even listen to the content
yeah.
of it. But you see that play like that. I mean, they literally, one of the things is they talk about, you know, Africans raping a baby to get rid of their AIDS. It's a big theme in the
And it's a real thing that happens in Africa. Yeah.
And you go, it's like, how are they coming after stand-up comics at all? It's like, that is as dark as it gets. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like, I kind of made the point where it's like, I guess in movies they get carte blanche to attack these subjects because they're not really making fun of it. Like, we make fun of it. So when we make a rape joke, they're going like, oh, well, they're making light of rape. It's horrible. But then in a play like that, it's like they're making light of the most fucked up shit.
I think
shit.
You just stay above it, or at least try to stay above it by just never apologizing unless you actually did something truly wrong. But yeah, you can't let anyone like bully you. You know, you'll see obviously you guys get it on Twitter, like somebody will say something that offended me or whatever. And then if you respond to them, they're not even mad. They're like, I can't believe you responded to me. Like, these people just want attention.
Yeah, they didn't even realize.
So you just let it go. Like, I did the show called Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix like 2 years ago, and I got fired. I got fired by Netflix because they told me, this is 2016, right? So like Trump wasn't president yet. So they told me when they hired me, we want you to be the comedian. It was me and Tiki Barber. We were the co-hosts. They're like, we want you to be the comedian. Tiki will be the color, you know, the you know, like.
We know.
No, they said, I'll you know, he'll just be like the X's and O's guy and you like color it up. And I said, okay. And they said, listen, it's about national pride because the show was about America had a team, you know, China had a team, Russia had a team, whatever. It was like, you know, Netflix Olympics through this dragon course. So it was wild. It was like American Ninja Warrior.
Pull up the trailer. I've seen it.
Yeah. Season Netflix. 2, I was the host. And then I got fired.
That's hilarious.
And replaced with CM Punk.
And CM Punk replaced
you? He replaced me. They kept Tiki and he replaced me with CM Punk.
CM Punk can just do whatever he wants.
But
do MMA, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, be a comedian, why not? Let's see.
But anyway, so they tell me, listen, man, it's about national pride. So you just need to make fun of every country and be like very pro-America. So I do that. And then Trump gets elected president. And I have the worst type of white look ever to be pro-America.
Yeah.
So they fire me because it's all – I mean, people were tweeting at me. I can't sleep at night. This piece of shit, Christie comedy. You're the problem with America, blah, 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 blah. And then there was one joke I got in a lot of trouble for, but it's like, first
what
of all,
the joke?
They had me filming there for 7-8 hours a day from like, we started at 9 p.m., would film till 8 o'clock the next morning. And, you know, I was like,
why did it have to be at night? Was it because it was outside?
Yeah, they wanted like that whole Twilight bullshit.
Yeah.
And like, the Chinese competitor were going, his name was Bin Feng. And when you fell, fell off the course at some point. You fell into this water. It was called the Beast Blood. That's what I had to say, the Beast Blood. But I kept saying, I was like, fuck it. I was like, Bin Feng from Team China, you know, he fell. I said, there goes Bin Feng into the duck sauce. So like, Tiki was laughing and they edit out Tiki's laugh. Yeah. And they were,
no,
I got so many tweets. You piece of shit. The ducks, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then like,
which is weird because Chinese people are known for their sense of humor.
Yeah, well, this is how wild China is.
And it wasn't even Chinese people, I bet. It was all a bunch of white people.
Bro, China won the whole competition, and because of their laws in China, the players couldn't even get the money. Like, it has to go to the Chinese government. So it's like, you're getting mad at me about a duck sauce, but like, this is still, these kids can't get their money because of their weird government. So anyway, they just fired me.
Let's say, go ahead.
Yeah, they fired me, and I was just like, you know what? Yeah, that's me. And I was just like,
100F.
It was just like, so fucking weird, man.
China wins and they just dump a Gatorade jug of soy sauce on the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying, you know, I had no problems. Oh, then they had another thing where there was an Indian competitor, a woman on Team India, one of the other hosts. And they
same joke. Like, she just fell into the curry sauce, folks.
In the curry sauce.
Give me my paycheck.
And they kept saying, hey, run into the Team India announcer's booth, which was this one girl, Sarah, and the other guy, his name was Vijut. He's like a huge Bollywood actor.
The way they did that was in their own countries, they had their own commentators?
We were all in L.A. We were all there, but each country had a booth. Each country had...
So in Netflix in India, they got the Indian version.
Exactly.
Oh, and that's kind of cool. It's pretty unique.
Absolutely. And
that's cool.
U.S. got the U.S. version and so on and so forth, every country. So India, they told me, they're like, go and run into the booth and say...
And tear the dot off that girl's head.
No, they would say, ask if she wants to Netflix and chill. Like, Netflix was telling me to say this in 2016. So I did that. And then... You know, of course, it airs. People are like me-tooing me. How could I make this woman feel so uncomfortable? Blah, 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 blah. So much to the point where I actually called the girl, not to apologize because I felt like I didn't do anything wrong. I was like, hey, are you getting these tweets? Like, was everything okay? Like, was there a point where you felt uncomfortable? And she was like, Chris, she said, she lives in India. She was like, you have an American problem. there. She was like, nobody can. She was like, there are
I was just raped on a bus.
That's what she said. She said, there's packs of men that come around our towns and villages and rape women. It's like, because you asked me politely out on a date and I politely declined.
Also.
And then
as a joke on camera.
And then you walked back to your hotel room. You think that's a problem?
Was
she was like, you have an American. She's smoking.
Who's the chick? Pull her up.
Sarah Diaz, D-I-A-S, Sarah Jane Diaz.
She's got a Puerto Rican girl in the Indian.
No, she's Indian, but she was like.
The hottest girl in India is Puerto Rican.
No, but it just goes to show you, like, these people, like, were like.
These people,
they're
Chris.
They're outraged.
What?
And it's like, what are you outraged? You're not even, you're outraged. You don't, like, the people who you're outraged for don't even care.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Do you know what I would have said? Dude, on the last airing
gorgeous,
ever
yeah.
of.
Are we becoming a pack?
On the last airing ever of. What was that Fox show that we used to do all the time?
With the one with Steve Hofstetter show? Laughs?
No. The political one.
Oh,
Red Eye.
Red Eye, yeah.
So they used to have all those fucking smoking hot chicks on.
Oh, my God, I know.
And it was the last episode. So, dude, I sexually harassed the girl on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was her fucking name? Do you remember Harrington, the girl? I tried to get her to make out with me, and I just kept on going back to it. Every time we go to a new segment, you're supposed to, like, go, talk about whatever, and it would just always end with me trying to get this girl to make out with me.
Yeah.
And I almost convinced her to.
Yeah.
I really did, because I was like, it's the last time ever. It's the last show they're ever doing. If you make out, if I get to make out with a hot Fox News chick on the show as a Puerto Rican fucking comedian, we'll make history here.
Right.
And you saw the moment where she was like, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then she said, no, I'm not going to kiss this dirty Puerto Rican.
Yeah. See, yeah, but it's all fucking comedy.
Yeah.
Dude.
No, I was harassing her.
Yeah, but you know what? But, like, I wonder, like, you know, like, your listeners, like, who live in, like, real America. Like, people live in real America. They're not so affected by these problems. Like, I was talking to this girl.
Well, people have real problems.
No, but I'm saying, exactly. She's a teacher out on Suffolk County, Long Island, so not too far away from here. Still in New York, you know, whatever, an hour and a half away. She's a teacher out there, and we were talking, and she was like, who's your favorite comedian? And I said, to be honest, I said, it's still, I think, just work alone. It's Louis C.K. I think his work is the best. I think his jokes are the best. I think he was the best. And she was like, what do you mean work alone? I was like, well, you know, obviously, like, I was like, it's not a fashionable thing to say Louis C.K. is your favorite comedian anymore. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, because of all the Me Too sexual jerking off stuff. And she was like, what are you talking about?
I don't even know.
She had no idea. She was like, I don't know what you mean. She was like, I would see things on, like, you know, the news or, like, you know, she was like, pop websites, but I don't take any of that shit seriously. She's like, I think his comedy's great. She's like, he's my favorite comedian too.
Well, that's why he's selling out places in minutes. That's why he's selling out 500 person rooms in minutes.
Yeah.
And killing with material, like, fuck, just absolutely murdering. You hear these tapes that people are stealing his material, and he's murdering. And you have one bitch sitting there with a tape recorder going, like, I'm upset. You're like, if you're not upsetting, if you're only upsetting one person in the room, I think you're not going hard enough.
Yeah.
You should have 10 people walking from every fucking show in order to get me going. In order to, like, my type of comedy that I like. If you just put a comic that I really like into a Patrice O'Neill, I would watch him walk people regularly.
Yeah.
Regularly. And he would try to push those fucking buttons. And it was hysterical. And it was one of the best things ever. I was talking about Book of Mormon before, you know, and sort of like the audience and how they've changed. And I think that it's a similar thing with stand-up comedy as well, whereas they're being trained to think and laugh differently, and jokes are sort of, you have to change the way that you do them now because people aren't going to laugh. You can't really execute a joke with the N-word in a stand-up comedy set.
Right.
There are probably people that do it.
Right.
It's really hard, and it's not even, in today's day and age, it almost becomes not worth the risk, because you have somebody taping your set in a club where you don't have it completely worked out, or you have it where it bombs one night. A joke that bombs just sounds like hate speech. If you're, if it's a fucking hateful fucking, you know, joke with fucked up subject matter. So,
well, we can make a living now, like, just by doing, like, what you guys are doing, like, podcasting and performing for our own fans. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, the last thing I would want is to be, like, A-list Hollywood right now, to have my whole life.
To have that scrutiny?
I want to perform, like a comedian like a Bill Burr, or even, like, what Schultz is doing now. Yeah. Who cares? Like, what?
Yeah.
Colgate is not going to fucking, you know, take anything away from, like, Kevin Hart has got a lot to lose. I mean, he's in bed with the movie guys. I don't want that shit. I want my fans.
I just want, like, a few million dollars. It might be it's not even crazy. Like, I hate to be such a fucking shallow asshole. I just want to have a few million dollars in the bank.
That's it.
Tell my fucking jokes. Do what I do. Create they want to create. Travel. Eat good food.
Yeah.
Have a good life with my kid. Teach me to be a good person.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm literally teaching my kid to be a good person. My son said yesterday, I don't even know how it got brought up, but two men being married.
Yeah.
And he goes, two men can't be married. Ha, ha, ha. And in my head, I went, thank God. Thank God he feels that way. But outwardly, I was like, well, no, they can sometimes. He was like, yeah. I know sometimes, but that's weird. And I was like, well, you know, it's not weird. I'm fucking convincing my son to not be a fucking closed-minded, hateful asshole, which instinctually he wants to be.
He wants to be, yeah.
Instinctually, we all want to, we all go, oh, two guys kissing? That's weird. No matter how much I'm trying to indoctrinate that right. in his life now, where in commercials, two guys and a couple, and they kiss, and they start making out in a car. That's just a regular thing now. To a little kid who has nothing to lose, he still goes, oh, that's a little weird to me.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's like, you know, to be honest with you, like, gay people, they've never bothered me. I've been like, oh, whatever. You know, people have their own rights. I don't care. I really, truly never cared. I was like, it happens. And my thing is like, you know, it's a fringe part of society. It's, you know, overwhelming minority group of people are gay. There are plenty of gay people, but it's not even close to the amount of straight people. So the overrepresentation of it on TV is a little like, you know, Hollywood, like what, you know, like I don't understand what's happening sometimes, where it's like the audience, even gay audiences, can tell when you're just forcing it in. Like Modern Family, I think, was such a great show and still holds up. Because it didn't feel forced. It was like, hey, you got a straight family, we got a gay family, it's not just like, oh, you know, these two dads, you know, are fucking bumping dicks and now they have a kid and a weed store and, you know, they have scooters. It's like, it's
agreed. And it's also, it's like Al Bundy's character, he's, you know, dating this hot young Mexican bitch who, like, it's like, you know, and she's like, you know, she marries into this affluent. There was a sense of realness to that.
Yeah, it's like,
you
know, a sugar daddy, and it's
and I feel
sense.
Like it would be tougher now to kind of create that show. They go, well, you need, no, it needs to be. And they did, look, they had the Asian kid, and they did bring in some other races, but it didn't feel forced. You're right. They did in a way where it wasn't completely forced. I made this point about Girls the other day. It's like people were like, oh, there's no brown people represented on the show Girls. And I'm like, sometimes groups of four chicks hang out.
Yeah.
And they don't hang out with any black chicks. What do you want me to say? That can't be represented? That's a fucking real slice of life, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That happens.
And the show Blackish, I think, is very good, too, because it's like, it's all reality. It's like, you know, they're not like, oh, you have to have a transgender friend and a white friend. And it's like, no, this is a black family. They hang out mostly blacks.
They jump a transgender kid in the neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's like, it makes sense to me.
Tonight
like,
on a very special black.
Yeah.
Ew, what that nigga got between his legs.
Dude, I had a pilot with CBS, and it didn't get picked up, but like the original story that we sold was my real story about my life. I had a baby with a Puerto Rican girl who I barely knew. She had a son from another relationship that, you know, I was dealing with that kid's dad. And
was his dad shitty, the other kid's dad?
No, he's a nice guy.
Okay.
You know?
White guy?
He's white, but there are... I was told that he does have a little Jamaican in him, so I was like, oof.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. He is white. His looks white. So anyway,
it was Joanna Nosachinsky. Thank you, Harrington.
We
tried to make out with her on Fox.
Okay. Okay. We did the pilot, and you know what we sold to them was my real story, my real comedy. You know, my dad saying that I'm gay, and you know, me being like, I don't want to marry this girl because she has a kid from another guy, and I just met her, and that's the whole comedy of the thing.
How quickly did you get your daughter's mother's pregnant?
Like second date. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. It was like quick. Like we went out on a date, didn't have sex. And then the second date or third date, whatever, the first time we had sex, she got pregnant.
First time you had sex?
Yeah, I didn't pull out, man. I couldn't. I couldn't. She was on top of me. And she tried to get off, but I just couldn't. It felt, I just fucking couldn't get out on time.
You can get out on time.
I couldn't. I've pulled out like every time.
Exclusively
pulled out. And then this one, I knew when it happened, like it, every drop got in there. So. You know,
Spanish pussy is tricky, dude.
It's tricky, man. Because people are like,
you know how you got in and you forget the way out.
Yo, she tried to jump off, man, but I couldn't. So
it's like a fun house.
Yeah,
you're like, you get in there, man. All of a sudden, I'm lost. I'm stuck. I guess I'm gonna live here.
So I was like instantly, and she knew it because she hadn't had kids before, and she's Puerto Rican. Like the next day, she was like, I feel pregnant. Like you hit it. So we tried to get a plan B, and it just didn't work. And I have my daughter now, and it's all, I don't regret anything, but.
You tried to get a plan B?
We should try. Yeah, we tried.
You plan B'd it and it didn't work?
It didn't work, man.
Yeah, that is so funny.
It didn't work.
Did you talk about that in your act?
Yeah, we talked about it in my act. And I talked about it in my CBS.
Your daughter's hardcore.
Hardcore.
She shook off plan B.
She shook off plan B. Yeah, I have a joke on my special. She fucking 15 plan B. She just knocked them all out. You know? So, and I had all that. And CBS was laughing in the room and it was great.
That's great.
You know, I created with the guys that created How I Met Your Mother, and those guys are great. And then comes down to the actual show. they're like, no, you know, you can't be an alpha male. We can't. We don't want. This is exactly what an executive said to me. They said, we don't want to imply that she's had sex with multiple men. I'm like, she has two kids from two different guys.
We don't imply it.
It's the fucking truth.
She's a whore.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say? She's basically a prostitute.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
And then they said, you know, and we don't want you being the one who doesn't want to marry her. We think it's better if she doesn't want to marry you. So just make me look like a beta bitch. And I'm going to be 100% honest. I allowed everything to happen because I thought, I'll listen to
you
them.
You have to, because you're like, yes. And get the show, on the air.
You know?
And then that's that.
You know? If I got my show on the air, it was $70,000 an episode. That changes my life. If I got 20 episodes.
The industry's fucked up because no matter how much you do, no matter how good you get, they have so much money that once you get there, you go, oh, I there's no way to turn it down.
Yeah.
No way to turn it down.
It's like, if you're going
to
give me whatever it is, $2 million a year, I'll absolutely not stand by my opinions. I'll do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. I'm trying to pay
at
for my kid's school.
You also disconnect from the emotion of it. You go like, all right, well, it's no longer my story. Now I'm acting. Now it's a job.
Now it's a job. Exactly.
Now it's a job. And that's what it became to you, I'm assuming, in that process.
But when I saw the pilot, before they had told me that it wasn't going to go, when I saw it, I wasn't necessary. Not that I wasn't proud of it, because the guys who helped me write it were fantastic, but I had that sinking feeling in my stomach, like I really sold out. Like, they had me in cargo pants. They made my father, who was played by Chaz Palminteri, look like a loser. You know, Annie Potts, who was, you know, one of the greatest, you know, unbelievable actress, so powerful, they made her just look like a bitch. And all they did was make
the Puerto Rican chick.
Puerto Rican girl, who they didn't even make Puerto Rican. They made her Colombian in the show.
The whole white family's the butt of the jokes, the chumps.
And that's another thing. It's like, because of the dynamics of it was, it's like, my story is about a Puerto Rican woman and an Italian guy. It's like an old school West Side Story. It's a New York feel.
Yeah.
But because the actress we hired, who was fantastic, Diane Guerrero, was Colombian.
Also hot. We looked at her the other day.
She's smoking hot.
Yeah,
smoking. So it's like CBS didn't want to piss anybody off. So like, let's make it Colombian. It's like, who? Even Diane was like, I'll play Puerto Rican. I don't care.
What does it matter?
They were like, nope, we don't want to piss anybody off. It has to be Colombian playing Colombian. It's like, well, that changes my entire story and the dynamics of everything. And I just kept saying, you know, and it's like another thing I learned. It's like, you know, these executives, like, they have power, but they don't know what they're doing. It's like, one of them was an accountant 2 years ago in the billing department, and now is giving me creative notes.
A lot of them are 26 years old. You're like, you're 26, bitch.
Yeah.
Go live life before you tell me how to do anything. I don't give a fuck what you know and whose ass you kiss.
Yeah.
Because the person who got there, who's wearing a suit, they're at a fucking desk, right?
Yeah.
What they did is they played this game.
Yeah.
And I have very little respect for that game that they played, which is to kiss the ass of the person above them.
Yeah.
To go through the motions, to not really take chances, to kind of stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And it's the kids who always had the pencil in high school who get to be in charge of these creative endeavors.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The kid who had the number two pencil in high school was not the funny, interesting, personable one. That bitch I'd copy off of, and I'm the creative one.
Yeah.
And I'm the funny one.
Exactly.
I'm the person who people want to fucking hang out with at the lunch table.
Yeah.
This person was just showing up prepared every time. And I respect that
right.
skill set to a certain degree, but it's not really the person that should be in charge of creating content for people to consume. Your show is a great show, by the way. Your concept, it shouldn't be on CBS. It should be on HBO, Netflix.
Well,
that's because it has a darkness to it, and it could be funny. It's just the problem is they were trying to get another, you know, King of Queens.
Exactly what they were. That's what Kevin James had the show, and they're like, oh, we have a vision. You'll be, you know, Kevin James will lead into your show. It'll be like a New York night where you have Kevin James's Kevin Can Wait. The new show was still on at the time.
Yep.
And then my show. And then, you know, once I saw the pilot, I was like, they're not going to pick this up. I look like such a weak fucking beta male. And it got close. It was between my show and this other show, fucking Living Biblically, which every show they picked up got canceled after three episodes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So in a way, it's a blessing in disguise, because now I have a deal with Comedy Central for a scripted show about my life that's a cartoon. Where in Comedy Central, execs are the opposite. They're like, yo, we're funny first. You tell us. A
cartoon's different because you can get away with a lot.
And they told me that's why I really like being a part Comedy Central. And the executives there, when we were in the room, they were like, you tell us. Because I told them the situation at CBS. They said, look, you write us that script. You push as much as you want. You fucking, whatever you want to do. It's a cartoon.
And we'll take it out.
And they said, we'll let the people decide. They said, we will absolutely make this. and we'll put it in house, and we'll let the people decide. If they vote yes, it's yes. If they vote no, it's it. You know, we'll make a decision. But they said, do not.
I'd rather go too far and pull it back some than fucking take all of the heart out of it.
Yeah, like I have all these jokes, and they were like in the room on the script. They were great about like my dad. Obviously, you can't say the word gay on CBS, but like him insinuating I'm gay because I eat blueberry yogurt, and it's like I do these jokes, and it's like I couldn't do that in CBS. They just axed the whole thing.
But why can't you represent the homophobic dad?
He's an old school Italian dad. They're homophobic.
That's who people, they want to see that guy. And that guy can also not be a villain. That can also be a charming person who is, it's almost like, you know, I talk about like Anthony Cumia almost like that. Like, because Anthony, people are like, Anthony's racist. I'm like, kind of. Like, he's racist the way most Italians from Long Island, 6-year-old Italians from Long Island are racist. You know, he probably wouldn't let his daughter marry a black guy. It would be an issue. And they'd talk about it at the Thanksgiving dinner table, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not an evil person inherently.
Right.
That is just more...
Right.
You're getting more reality than you're getting, you know, this representation online or through media or through television.
Right.
It's not really representing life anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be art represents life or whatever, or life, you know, art imitates life. It's just sort of like they're sort of creating a narrative about society that isn't really true.
Well, yeah, and it's not even about like if it's a good person or a bad person, because, you know, I get people's complaints on like, hey, but it still should be represented in television, because there's no matter what, not everyone on TV can be good. Like, you have to have, even in a CBS fucking buttoned up show, have a character that's like, you know, that this guy uses racial slurs when the door closes. Like, that needs to be represented on TV as much as, you know, a transgender person does.
Agreed.
It's or else you're just creating this utopia that doesn't exist. And that's why I feel, you know, some of these other networks are blowing CBS, ABC, and NBC's out of the water. Because even my dad, who's like the prime, he's 75 years old, and his wife, who's 65, they are the prime candidates to watch network television. That's the demo. And even there, like, all these shows suck. They're forcing this shit down our throats. We don't like it.
And it's also like you're watching shows. Like, I'm looking at the CBS lineup right now, and they have a lot of like action shows, MacGyver, FBI, SWAT.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there are drug lords on these shows that murder people.
Sure.
And it's like well, I don't understand. Yeah. It's like, guys, it's just they're so sensitive when it comes to comedy and sort of how to create it. It's like, I don't know. You're just not really. It's almost like lifeless at this point. You mentioned before about, you know, your chick not being able to play a Puerto Rican. There was another story that I just read recently about. There's the Kevin Hart movie, The Upside.
Oh yeah, with Bryan Cranston, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I guess Bryan Cranston plays a guy in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an article about how people are upset that Bryan Cranston is playing a guy in a wheelchair, and they're not having a real person in a wheelchair. Play a person in a wheelchair.
Yeah, they don't understand it's a business. You got to sell tickets. That's like the whole thing when there was, it was called Exodus, when Christian Bale, I believe, played Moses. There was like a big, I think it was Christian Bale, there was like a big uproar. They were like, why the fuck couldn't you get a Middle Eastern actor? And the financiers of the movie, who are Middle Eastern, were like, Christian Bale sells tickets.
Yeah.
The Middle Eastern guys don't.
Who the fuck is the guy in the wheelchair that's as famous as fucking Bryan Cranston?
And no problem with the actor who played Stephen Hawking in the wheelchair. That guy did a phenomenal job. Yeah. Daniel, forgetting his, you know what I'm talking
Lewis?
About? No, Daniel. He played the whatever the movie that just came out about Stephen Hawking.
I didn't see it.
The Theory of Everything, and he was fantastic in it.
But yeah, you know, it's, you know, I watched, this is what I watched on it. It was the Daily Show guy,
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah. He was talking about it, and I like some of Trevor Noah's stuff that he puts up.
Yeah.
People hate on that guy a lot, and sometimes he makes sort of a poignant. You know,
he's got to take swings, you know?
Yeah, and so he was kind of saying, he was like, you know, I guess he read a statement from an actor that was in a wheelchair, and the guy in the wheelchair was like, well, I don't have any roles that I can play that aren't a guy in a wheelchair. It's like there's very few leading roles. And I do understand that sentiment, but at the same time, you go, it's like, all right, we'll step back from it further and go, yeah, they got to fucking make money.
People are paying money to see Bryan Cranston.
100%.
It's just the fact of the situation. If you had the other guy, who I'm sure is great, they're not going to pay money to see him. Just going back just as a point, it happened to me with my CBS pilot. The woman who I wanted to play my mom was so spot on my mother. I couldn't believe how much this lady, not in a million years would they go for it. Annie Potts came in and was fantastic, but they want to make money. So it's like, are you going to pay to see an actress or actor you know, or are you going to pay to see somebody who can nail it? Nobody cares. Like, go tell a guy in Iowa – you know, that, oh, this guy really captures the essence. They don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I saw Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad. I think he's great. I want to watch the movie.
Dude, Breaking Bad and Kevin Hart together on screen, I'm there. Sounds great, you know?
Who cares?
Or some fucking dude in a wheelchair. By the way, also, let me say this. Guy in the wheelchair, you're probably not even that good because I've never heard of you.
Yeah.
If you were great,
yeah,
I would have fucking heard of you.
Especially because he's in the chair. Like, if he was even half good,
that's what I'm saying.
I'd be famous.
It's almost like you're in a fucking wheelchair, and if you're even slightly good, you should be fucking nailing it.
Yeah.
I should be seeing you in every background of every fucking movie as the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I don't know who you are.
Yeah, Vern Troyer just fucking nailed it. That's why he was the go-to midget of all time.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, he just was good. So you went to him. People want to complain. I think it's a society. It's like a lot of weak people are just looking for ways to, like, you know, the 2019 dynamics. That's what I mean. Like, people are just making it because of 2019 dynamics. And I just think if you keep going, and real talent will speak for itself. But you may have to wait a little bit.
This is a video of Cranston defending the role.
Good. I want to see Owen Benjamin defend it. That'd be a different video. That'd be hilarious.
We live in the world of criticism. If we're willing to get up and try something, we have to also be willing to take criticism.
Yeah.
So we're very aware of the need to expand the opportunities for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. This, I think being cast in this role as a quadriplegic really came down to a business decision as opposed to someone who is actually in a wheelchair to play the role. Not that they're not able to play the role, but it was a business decision. You know, as actors, we're asked to be other people, to play other people. If I, as a straight, older person...
Can't even see it. Say it.
I'm wealthy. I'm very fortunate. Does that mean I can't play a person who's not wealthy? Does that mean I can't play a homosexual? Does that mean, I don't know. Where does the restriction apply?
Pause it.
The line?
That is a great point as well.
That's a good
because
point.
And it's also really weirdly like bigoted and closed-minded to saying you're a white man. You can only play a straight white man. That's it. It's like, no. I mean, I'd like to see Bryan Cranston in blackface.
Yeah.
Me personally, I think that they should have switched roles. Kevin Hart should have been in the wheelchair. Bryan Cranston should have played Kevin Hart's character.
Like, I think anybody can do anything. Like, you know, like what they say, like more diversity on SNL. I don't have a problem. Like, if an Indian kid can do a great Trump impersonation, I fucking get it. I'll see that. You don't have to look exactly like the guy or feel exactly like the guy.
I disagree.
You think it has to?
If they casted a fucking Indian as Trump, I would throw a hammer at my TV.
Really? It would bother you? See, it wouldn't bother me.
It would bug the fuck out of me. Look, Dougie, what do you want me to say? You know? You can't fucking... I'm not... Right. They can't have me acting and when you create a piece like that, a sketch, movie, whatever, you're supposed to forget that you're watching a movie at one point.
Right.
You're supposed to be in it, right? And it's when I see bad acting in a movie. When I see a bad actor, I remember Mike Tyson in The Hangover. He was so bad that it reminded, in the middle of the movie, it was such a bizarre thing because these are great actors in The Hangover. They're all fucking great, dude. Everyone nailed, especially that first Hangover. It was so good.
Yeah.
And they're all fucking nailing it. And then, you know, 60%, 70% of the movie, they throw Mike Tyson in who can't act for shit.
Right.
And he's just, you know, he's saying his lines so obviously.
Right.
And it reminds you that there's a camera and a boom mic.
Right.
And it takes you so far out of it. So if they were to cast an Indian guy as Trump, I would never be able to suspend reality enough to let myself go to really enjoy it. I'd have to really, you know, enjoy it. Even like last night I was watching that Rent production. It was just bizarre that the main guy who played like the, it's supposed to be like a nerdy white guy and talks about going to a Jewish school or whatever. It had like a half black, like really good looking, like half black kid playing him. And I was going like, I guess he could be Jewish, right? Because he's half black.
Sure.
But it's like, it took me out of it a little bit, you know? And I don't, you know, I think we force that in a little bit too much.
Yeah,
you can reimagine a role. Like if they remake a movie or something and then they change it to a woman character or a man character, you know, if they redid fucking 101 Dalmatians and made Cruella de Vil a fucking black dude and reimagined it, I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, it's
you know
no problem.
What I'm saying? It's, who cares?
You can, by the way, creative. A much more believable movie.
Yeah. So he kills dogs. It's electrocuting him in his backyard.
Dude, I had a Dalmatian.
And loves fur. Like, it's really Cruella de Vil low-key might be a black dude.
Shit.
It's true.
Okay, wait. Well, hold on. Fred Armisen in blackface and SNL doing Obama less than 10 years ago. Okay, that's funny.
What was?
I guess Fred Armisen was doing blackface Obama 10 years ago. There he is.
Yeah, because what were the blackface videos? What are they called? The old school? What's the name for them?
Awesome.
No, like from the 20s and 30s, they have a name, and I'm blanking on the name.
Isn't it a minstrel show?
Minstrel show. Minstrel show. Like, that was, if you watch those, because like, I've watched them, and it's like, yeah, that's clearly, they're not only, it's blackface, and they're like dumbing down a human being. They're degrading African Americans. So it's like, I get it. But a guy put.
But White Chicks was them degrading fucking dumb white blonde bitches.
But that's my point. It's like, nowadays, like, if you're just putting on, you know, if a SNL character painted his or her face black to impersonate, you know, Kamala Harris or Obama, they're just doing it to get you in the mind frame of it. So it's like, for the sins of the 1920s,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, you're not, so it's like the same thing as, you know, with the Kevin Hart things with hosting the Oscars. It's like, if you have to go back 10 years to find any homophobic tweets, did you ever you don't want anything to change. You just want to stay mad. And that's what I feel it is now. Because, like, obviously we know that type of blackface is awful. You know, in the 20s. But it's like, that's not what it would be a different, it would just be representing
was
character.
Was blackface in the, now let me ask you a question.
It was bad. The 20s, 30s, it was very uncomfortable.
Is the reason they did it was because they wouldn't hire black actors, so they had to play a black actor in a stage show. And typically they were a slave or a fucking housemaid or some dumb fucking
servant.
But
it was always like, you know, that's all the public saw. If you watch them, I mean, it's pretty, I love to watch them. Listen, I own a house, I have a daughter, I'm more conservative than I've ever been in my life. But even I was like, you know, that's another thing too. I feel like everybody's so liberal and offended at everything. It's like, listen, if you got roommates, I don't want to fucking hear from you about your problems. Shut up.
You may have heard it.
You know, I just don't want to hear if you got roommates, you don't have kids, you know, maybe you have cats.
You don't own anything.
You're talking to me about like your cat's your child and you're on the bus. Get the fuck away. I got real issues here. Yeah. I got a mortgage and I got a child. So it's like, yeah, I may use a plastic straw. Does that mean I'm an ISIS? You know? So it's like, what do you want from me, man? It's always the same. I guarantee all these
people. It's like people that are sitting at a blackjack table, not playing, but watching everyone else going like, oh, this is what you should do, but buddy. Beat it. You're not at the table.
Yeah. And it's not that if you're someone who has roommates and you think your pets are your children, there's no, I'm not saying like,
your opinion means less to society.
Exactly.
I mean that.
I'm saying that you're probably bored and you have nothing to focus on and you're probably mad at yourself for whatever decisions you've made. So it's like, why don't you just stop? Yeah. Stop trying to find a home.
I made that point about The Simpsons when they were doing the, they were mad about Apu.
And I was talking
about, I was talking about the Mexican B character. And the point I made was Hispanic people have real problems. The reason Indian kids can get upset about this is because they make more money than everyone else. They're fucking crushing it in this country.
Guess what? If you put on fucking, I wonder if any of the children in Syria would have a problem with Apu. I doubt those children have a problem with Apu.
Yeah.
Because they don't have limbs or their fucking eyes have been blinded out from toxic gas. So I don't it's just we're so bored in this country that it's like, oh, let's take down this guy now because everything is fucking great here.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. Gentlemen, really quickly, I want to talk about the Ridge Wallet, which is an amazing, amazing sponsor of this show. And I love my Ridge Wallet. Forget everything else. It's just fucking cool as hell. First of all, Chris, let me see your wallet. Let me see what you got.
Here, I bought this at a yard sale in Seattle.
First of all, I love Seattle. Seattle's
a good
great
city.
Place.
Highly featured in the new Ted Bundy Netflix documentary.
Yeah, yeah. I watched a little bit. I didn't like it.
You don't like it? I'm interested in it. I'm just interested in him being a psycho.
Every other documentary. Anyway, regardless. So look, this wallet's not bad. This is not the worst we've seen. We have a lot of people that come in on the Real Ass Podcast.
And it's
show
overflowing.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, look, this is still not perfect. This is not the way
not
you should be living your life. You, my friend, are a handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking got your shit together. You got fire hair, okay?
Yeah.
You need to fucking get a Ridge Wallet. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get you a free Ridge Wallet. I'm going to change your life.
I'm from Ridgewood, Queens.
Doggy.
Perfect.
It's literally made for you, okay?
And now I live in Bay Ridge.
So here's the deal. You have all these extra cards here. Look at this, okay? Look at this business. Stress or Closet Factory. You're never going to use it. All these health plan cards, extra cards, business cards, little slips of paper, things you're never going to use in your entire
life.
And what happens? You throw them in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to become clunky. Starts to become bunky.
Yeah.
Fits in your fucking, in your back pocket. You're sitting a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Nobody likes that, okay?
Yeah, it only makes my hips look bigger.
What is this? Oh, do you think this is from the future? What do you think this is?
Holy shit, what is that?
Piece of fucking technology.
What the fuck?
This is my wallet, Chris.
How do you get money in there?
This is the Ridgeball. You put money. Well, first of all, you have to be successful like you. Okay. But one day I will be able to have money inside of my Ridge wallet. Hold on. I'll actually show you. It has a little strap. They have two different versions. They have the version that has the money clip, and then they have the version where I thought I had a $10 bill in my
that
wallet.
That actually is a sexy wallet.
It's like, a fucking sexy.
I know we're like reading an ad, but that I actually do really enjoy that wallet.
Feel it. Okay. It's two metal plates.
Holy shit.
They're bound together. Here, look at this. Okay, and look, Bobby got his Ridge wallet right here. Everyone on the staff, we're not lying about this.
Oh, this is easy.
Everyone on the staff has their Ridge wallets. And look, you can actually see Bobby's, which is a little bit more
full. How do you
open
this puppy?
Just literally push it, push the card up. You see that little slot right there?
This?
The no. But just use your finger.
Okay, this?
Okay, you see where the TD Bank, you can see it?
Yeah.
Just use your finger and push it.
Oh.
You get it.
Oh.
Pops up.
Just pop, wow.
There you go, nice and easy.
Here we go.
Pull your credit. Just push that. Yeah, push the card.
Oh, push this card.
Push
like,
it.
Like to take it out?
Yeah, to take it out. If you want to take it out, you just push the little bumper. Look, Chris, like this. Like that. You just push it and slide it out. Nice and easy. Look at that. If you guys want Bobby's credit card number right there, that's all you need.
Interesting.
Okay. So he's got the money clip on his. I have the strap on mine, but this is where you put the money in. Look. Right there.
Boom.
It keeps your entire life together. You look and feel like a real man. You feel like James Bond, okay? This would be something that, is it Q? Is that the person?
Yes.
James Bond would have set James Bond up with. They're like, you're not a Bond. You don't need to have a regular wallet. You can have the Ridge wallet, okay? So it keeps your life together. There's no little bullshit slips of paper, no extra cards, no little things that you don't need. It makes you keep, it's almost like, when you first clean your apartment, how you just feel like your life is in order. Every time I reach into my wallet and pull out my credit card, it reminds me that my life is a little bit more together. And it's just very classy, really nice. It has different versions. They have the titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum, polycarbonate. So many different styles. They're fucking amazing. Right now, you go to RidgeWallet.com. RidgeWallet.com is the website. You get 10% off if you use the promo code RAP. RidgeWallet.com/RAP. Is the website. RidgeWallet.com/RAP is the website. Use the promo code RAP and the link in the episode's description. You save 10% on any purchase you make. Buy 20 fucking Ridge wallets right now. Give them out at your next company party. Why not? Okay?
Seriously.
If you got a friend with a birthday coming up, this is the perfect gift. That gives you also a lifetime warranty on them. So if it breaks, boom. Send it into Ridge Wallet. There you go. You got a brand new Ridge Wallet.
Perfect.
You're never going to have to buy another wallet again. RidgeWallet.com/RAP. Save 10% right now with that promo code RAP. All right, let's get back into it. All right, 573 Gasline, Real Ass Podcast. Put it through the first caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what do you have to say to us?
What's up?
Hey,
you
what's
put
up?
On dude? Fucking, I wonder.
Turn down your radio.
Yeah, turn down
your radio. All right, I'm listening to the podcast.
Hey,
this
what's
is
up,
Eric
buddy?
Eric from Cali.
Eric from California. What's up, my friend? Did you have any questions or anything to say?
Yo, Lewis, you want to make a bet via PayPal and or Venmo?
Maybe.
Okay, check this out, Lewis. Do you think Shannon's going to get laid on the boat, yay or nay?
No, I don't think she's going to get laid on the boat. I don't. I really don't.
You have faith in her?
I don't have faith in her. I think that Shannon is a boring bitch. And I think that she's not going to get naked with a man on the boat. I really don't. It's not about faith. It's not about anything else. I just think that I want her to have sex. I'm not, I wish she'd let go a little bit. Do you think she's going to?
I don't know, man. I think she might.
If you
want
to do that, I'll do a bet with you via Venmo. What do you want to bet?
What do you say? A smooth $20 bill?
$20 bill, doggy. Me and Eric from California, $20 on the line. He says Shannon's getting laid on Shiprock. I say she's not. I will take that money, too.
Just have video proof.
Yeah. I got to see Shannon's vagina. We're going to give her an exam on Monday's show.
Yeah.
We're going to see.
I think Shannon is not prepared for cruise ship drunk.
Oh, so you think she's going to fuck up and let go?
I believe me and Harrington have this exact same bet for $40.
Yeah.
But does it get laid or is it?
It's Shannon bangs some dude on the boat.
She's going to get delirious from Legionnaire's disease. Just fucking blow somebody.
What?
Shannon's going to be sucking dicks next to the fucking Guy Fieri burger stand.
So you think that she's.
Oh, what a dream. I'd love to be there.
You think that she's going to do it?
Yeah, I say last day, Shannon winds up banging a dude.
Did she go alone? Did she go with girlfriends?
She's with a chick, a friend of hers.
Yeah.
And Ralph is there as well. Ralph is there. I think Shannon's going to control herself in front of Ralph. Shannon also doesn't get hammered. To the point, I've never seen her get hammered to the point where she's like, let go. Bobby, you're saying, yeah?
Not to let go, but I've seen her hammered.
I see her get hammered. I've seen her do drugs.
Yeah, but cruise ship drunk is a different beast.
Different thing, right? Where's she cruising to? That's my next
Mexico. Mexico.
She could do it. I mean, it depends. I don't know. Are they getting off the boat?
Yeah.
Does she have to have sex on the boat, or can it just be Mexico?
Who the fuck's having sex in Mexico?
I mean, it depends what part.
Most Mexicans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mexicans
want a lot of them.
Yeah. Mexican guys will love Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, I don't think Shannon's going to want to fuck a Mexican guy. She likes a big, muscly, like, rocker type guy.
Rocker type guy, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, $20 bet. We have another call.
Shannon does look like graffiti of herself. Some Mexican guy putting a mural on a wall.
573 Gas Line. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
You're on Sick. The real All right, I'll turn my shit down too.
All right, cool. What's up, doggy?
Josh, you're on.
Cool, man.
What's up, Josh?
Yep.
What's up, doggy?
Rope.
Say it again.
All right, Lewis.
What up, baby? Josh, say your fucking piece.
Yo.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yo, Josh, are you there?
Yeah, bro.
Can you hear me or no?
Can you hear Lewis?
Man, fuck Lewis, man. Huge fan.
What's up, doggy?
Girlfriend doesn't like you. I'm a fucking huge fan.
Put her on the phone.
17 weeks pregnant. She's 17 weeks pregnant with my first baby, bro.
Put her on the phone right now. I'm going to make her abort. That's how mean I'm about to get her work.
Wish you could. She's at work. I wish you could. I'm showing her this shit, too.
I'm going to give her a fucking miscarriage. That bitch doesn't like me. Why? What did I do to her?
I don't know, bro. It's just I watch everything. Everything.
And she's like, why are you listening to that asshole?
That's exactly it, my brother. That's so funny.
What's her name?
Her name's Renee,
black chick? Nice.
She ain't black.
I was
White girl.
I always imagine a chick named Renee is black. Somebody said something really funny the other day. I was playing Fortnite, and the kid on the other line was like, he's like, all right, next person that gets killed has to kiss a black girl. And it was just, he was a Southern kid. And it was so racist and delightful. It was just like, it was for nobody. It was not on a live stream. It was just, next person get killed has to kiss a black girl. And we all laughed so hard at that. It was just the best.
What does that even mean?
That kissing a black girl is a punishment, Chris. Oh my God. That's what it means. It's so mean and brutal.
It's not, I fucking love black
girls. Black chicks, first of all, they know how to make out really well. And they suck fucking dicks like monsters.
Dude, I did a thing last week with Yamanika and we kissed on the lips and fucking great lips.
Loved it, huh?
I loved it. I loved kissing her. I felt like she could control each one of her lips independently. Yeah. I was like, nice. Yeah. She was, you know, it's interesting. Very sexual.
She has an extra bone in her lip.
She does have
that enables her to kiss really well.
Yeah, it was great.
Lewis, what's it like to be the only one at the table who's never made out with Yamanika now?
You made out with Yamanika.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, you know the lips I'm talking about.
Yeah, Yam knows what the fuck's
great.
Up.
Oh, did you guys hooked up?
No, we just made out on the car once when we were hammered.
Yeah, nice.
That's hooking up.
That's hooking up. You guys banged.
No, I wish. Yeah. I would fucking bring that up all the time.
I don't know how that would even work.
She'd bring it up too. She's very open.
I feel like your genitals and Yamanika's genitals weirdly look the same, but different colors. Like he's looking between his legs.
Mine are darker.
Yeah, man, I don't know. All right, let's get. I thought of a really great scam that I will talk about in a moment. But let's get Scam That Jew going. We'll bring some scams up.
Man, and I live with my mother.
Scam That Jew.
Scam That Jew.
Great.
It's before you get uncomfortable, Chris.
I'm not uncomfortable.
We're the Jews.
Yeah, there's a comma in there. It's scam that, comma, Jew.
Jew. So nice. We're the Jews. We're scamming. If we pick your winning scam, you get a free Scam That Jew t-shirt. Yeah. This is the Scam That Jew. Look, there's the front, and this is the back right here. It's a nose.
Yeah, and I'm spelling it J-O-O to make it more fun,
okay.
Family friendly.
That is fun.
Scam That Jew.
Scam That Jew. Look, I'll tell my scam first, which I think is a great fucking scam. I've gone to a bunch of therapy in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm in therapy now. I'm in anger management. I've gone to couples therapy before as well. And I was just thinking about this. This is a fucking solid scammo. Okay. What you can do, you're scamming a lot here. Okay. You can do this scam or you can get your friend to do this scam. It doesn't even matter. Okay. I don't know if you want to use it for money or you want to use it to save your relationship. It's a great scam.
Right.
You get a friend to pretend to be a couples therapist.
Okay.
Then you bring your girlfriend to your friend as a couple's therapist.
Okay.
And that friend, over time, breaks her down to the point where she believes that everything she does is wrong. She's letting you have threesomes. She's letting you hit her.
Yep.
She's letting you fuck. You just own the house the way you want to own the house because you're going to sort of break her apart psychologically. You need a friend who's a pretty good actor, but it's simple as that. Psychologists, all they do is they sit there and listen.
Now, how would you address the office part of it? Like, would you go to their house?
You can do Skype. You can do it. There's Skype therapists. They're cheaper typically. You can set it up at an office depending on how far you want to go with it. I was thinking as a scam for me, I can just open up a fake therapy office. How illegal is that? Is that illegal? If I were to say, all right, you can bring your girl to me, $300 an hour or $250 an hour, $300 an hour. That's about the price of couples therapy.
Right.
But I'm not a real therapist.
Okay.
Just bring your girl and we're going to make her feel as if she's fucking wrong.
Right.
So you get the benefit of we're going to couples therapy to fix us. But then also,
yeah,
she's fucking wrong.
She's wrong.
Solid.
I like that as a scam.
It's a solid scam right there. So $250 an hour, I think it's worth it. For you, if you had problems with your chick, you just go, fuck it, dude. I'll pay that.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
100%.
A month later, boom. Easy. You're done. You're cured.
Cured.
You're banging her sister. She doesn't care.
I love it. I'm in. I mean, I think it's a relatively good scam.
It's probably
been done before.
Probably it had to have been
absolutely.
Done. I'm not that creative. It has to have
been
done.
No, it's not creative. It is creative, but I just think, you know, people, they've probably indirectly done that stuff before.
Well, yeah, look, it all comes from sitting in couples therapy and going like, oh, if this was a friend, I could be really fucking my chick up right now.
Yeah.
Wait, is that illegal to pretend to be a therapist in New York? There has to be precedence on this law.
100% illegal. You have to have a license. I mean, you have to.
I don't know if you do. I think you can set up an office and say...
Is there terminology you could use?
Is life coach.
Interesting.
You don't have to say licensed therapist. I think it's illegal if you say I'm a licensed therapist. If you were to say you're a life coach, you're a self-help fucking guru.
That's true.
Couples coaching, right? So why can't I open up Lou Dog's couples coaching in the Lower East Side, right?
Well, you know, like, well, if it was cathartic for me to say, come on this podcast and give you guys $250 a week, like, what's illegal? I'm willingly giving you the money. I know you're not a licensed therapist. I guess it is. Yeah, it could work. But I think the scam, the Jew part of it, I guess would be like you lying. I mean, I guess there is some crafty lawyer could...
Is it illegal? Because the only reason I'm not doing this and abandoning Gas Digital is because of the illegality here. I think this is a fucking great business, though. If you're just marketing this to dudes via social media, you know what I'm saying, having a problem with your chick, click here. You know how many guys, I posted this on social media yesterday. I posted it on Twitter. I tweeted it as a joke. And I've had about 30 people hit me up being like, dude, will you seriously take money for that?
Yeah.
Be like, yeah. I'll do it right now via Skype. The response is fucking crazy.
Right. I'm just picturing Lewis at like a little lemonade stand that just says the doctor is in 5 cents.
what I used to do when I used to fuck when I was a teenager, I used to fuck up with girls, you know, all the time. And I had my best friend, who's my daughter's godfather now, and he was in on it because what he would do is he was always friends with my girlfriends. You know, it was, you know, whatever. I had two or three girls I did this with. You know, I'd get caught cheating or I'd do something stupid, and then he would, you know, reach out to the girl and be like, Chris is so upset about that. And fix it. How he would fix it was, he, even though me and Luke had already had this discussion, he would tell them, hey, look, why don't, like, he was like, look, Chris is so sorry. Like, you got to understand, like, he was like, look, he's my best friend. I would never do this. I feel like I'm, you know, like being dishonest with him right now, but like, I want you to hear it. He would call, he would say to the girl, let me call you. I'll call you. You be on a three-way call, be silent, and I'll call Chris and we'll start talking. Chris has no idea you're on the phone.
Beautiful.
So the girl would listen in, and Luke would be like, yo, how you feeling? And I'd be like, I fucking can't believe I ruined it with her. And I just, you know, man, like all this bullshit. And the girl was silently listening, thinking that I didn't know. But of course I knew. Luke, it was a whole scam from the beginning.
Beautiful.
And I would get relationships. I would, you know, I would at least get one more chance to piece it back together. If I fucked up again, then that's out the window. But we would do, I've done that. I did that with two or three girls, and I got another 6-8 months out of, you know, dating that girl because of the scam lie that we had. Because she was like, I believe you, you know, and then a couple of days would go by, and I you know, keep saying, I'm so sorry. And she already had this, hey, you know, like I kind of caught him with his friend, and he's telling the truth, and he's being, you know, and Luke would say things like, Chris, just tell me the truth. We've been friends from your whole life. Did you hook up with that girl? And I'd be like, no, man, no. I would just deny it.
How can you monetize this? If we can monetize this in some way, this would be a great scam.
Well, I mean, you could monetize it in the sense that, like, I mean, if Luke would have asked me for money for it, I would have paid him to do that. For sure I would have paid him. But the catch was, you know, he was my friend and he was friends with my girlfriend. You can't just randomly do that. So it was like all, you know what I mean?
There's a way to advertise via social media to your chick. There's a way to get in her timeline some fucking weird advice thing. I don't know. There's a way. There's a way to monetize it.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a little specific.
It's a little complicated. It's complicated, and you'd have to.
We're Jews. We care about the money here.
Of course.
It's not about love. We don't have the ability to love. Okay? Yeah, obviously. First. This is fucking.
For sure.
We're
Jewish
people. Can't love, but we can make fucking cash.
Ari Shaffir would know. Ask Ari.
That's true. What are some other scams that we got that have been mailed in? Also, 573 Gaslight. If you have a great scam for Scam That Jew, you could even call it in live. Why not? Good, Harrington. Let me know what we got here. Maybe we'll give away a shirt today. That'd be nice.
Okay. This is a fun one. Flight scams. The scam will allow you to choose cheapest and least. This scam will allow you to choose the cheapest and least flexible plane ticket and then cancel or change without losing money. All you need is a doctor's note. It can be a real one, or you can just make one with Microsoft Word in 15 minutes. Every airline has a department that reviews medical excuses for canceled flights. They do not call your doctor or the hospital, but merely check to ensure it looks somewhat real and the date matches up with the flight. They will issue a full refund or will allow you to change flights without any fees. I keep the same note changed the day before I submit it. You can probably change airlines here and there, but if you're booking last minute, looking for the cheapest flights, you're going to end up switching anyway. Not as sexy or on brand as a swastika tattoo, but it's effective for the disorganized, procrastinating entertainer. It's
Chris,
honestly a foolproof scam.
We have to give Chris some context to this.
Yo, I was like, what?
Okay, somebody came up with a really good scam.
It's a great scam. The swastika
tattoo.
Could
you tell me? So yeah, it's a lot of tattoo shops. If you have a symbol of hate speech tattooed on you.
From like
they'll cover it
whatever.
Up for free. Okay. Like if you have a swastika tattoo and you're like, you know, I turned my life around. I don't want this on me. They'll do a free cover up. So somebody wrote in and was like, yeah, just have your friend do like a stick and poke swastika on you.
And get a free tattoo.
And get a free tattoo.
It's the best scam ever.
Wow. And that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I guess, yeah, if I was owned a tattoo shop and I believed you, of course I'd cover up for
it's
free.
It's just some fucking SJW marketing where you get to go like, look, we're against hate, doggy. Come get a real tattoo.
Wow.
It's a fucking solid scam. But this airline scam, I personally have to cancel flights. I fuck up things regularly. It's a regular.
And the insurance never works. I've stopped getting the insurance.
I never buy the insurance.
I used to do it, and it's like the one time I needed it, I never got my money back because of some technicality. Fuck the insurance.
Fuck that, dude. And I've had to cancel flights multiple times.
Of course. We have to do that all the time.
Multiple
Shit
times.
Shit comes up.
Yeah. So that is a ridiculously good scam, especially if you're traveling a lot. I travel a lot. This is a fucking solid scam. I will share that with everyone I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's only scam so far of the day, but it is a solid way to start. Solid front runner. Go ahead, Harrington.
To interrupt before Harrington goes to the next one, I believe you can also do, if you say somebody died, if you have like documents that somebody died and you have to be home for the funeral.
You get a free flight?
No, but you get like bumped up. Like I think you get either discount or you get like priority. On a flight that, like, so say you're on standby.
Right.
You get priority then
if
you're going home for a funeral, because that's Paul Heyman who ran ECW.
Yeah.
Used to get all the wrestlers to the shows with these fake notifications that their families died.
Well, I mean, that's because
they're called bereavement flights.
A quick, you know, just to get on the plane faster. I mean, I had a friend who just always, you know, an air cast, which is very easy. He would just put an air cast on, you know, limp up, and he would always board the plane. Even if he was group five, he would just board
the
plane.
You can tell them that they can't even ask because they have an injury.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Anybody with any physical things, whatever it is.
Whatever.
If you
I'm dyslexic. I need to get on the plane.
Yeah. They can't ask. They legally cannot ask you.
Interesting.
You'd be like, I need to get on the plane first. I have a really embarrassing physical thing that I prefer not to discuss.
And then, boom, that's you're it. On.
They'll also fucking drive you through the airport. If you tell them your foot hurts.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I need somebody to fucking drive me on a golf course through the airport. They have to.
Interesting.
They have to. Bereavement flights, let's see. This is for air passengers in the United States and Canada. A bereavement flight is purchased when a close relative has died or is dying. Each airline will have their own way of dealing with requests for bereavement fares. This guide will help you before you travel. Then it shows you. This is on skyscanner.com. So if you guys want to look this up, search for cheap flights first. Skyscanner, Delta policy for bereavement flights. In the event of death or imminent death, your immediate family, Delta's bereavement policy offers additional flexibility on the best published fare on your route. Okay. But, I mean, how do they know if somebody died?
I think one of them was a certificate of death.
Yeah,
or one of them is like funeral arrangements.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really get in trouble for this stuff, right?
No. I mean,
I like this guy's fucking scam. All right, give me the next scam.
Okay. This is from Mike Keeley. Head to Jersey Mike's, order a sandwich at a non-peak time during a weekday.
Jersey Mike's. Go to Jersey Mike's. Is that a... Is that a chain?
Yeah, Jersey Mike's Subs.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no, you're right. I've seen that. Like, yeah. I've seen all over the
Atlantic
place.
City. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming this will work for Subway or any of the other ones too. Be sure to order a hot sandwich so it takes a few minutes to cook.
Hmm.
Usually there are only a couple people working at these times, so the person cooking the meat won't be the one taking payment.
Yeah.
As discreetly as possible, go sit down at a table as if you've already paid.
Yes.
When your sandwich is ready, they will hand you the sandwich at the counter, not realizing no payment was ever taken.
Of course. Who hasn't done this?
This has worked for me at Jersey Mike's in my office building at least five times.
It works anywhere.
Now.
I mean, you know, look, anybody who pays for food without first looking for a way to go sit down and eat it first is an idiot.
It's an idiot. Yeah.
There's a baseline level in which you live your life, okay? Now, if there's two different cashiers, I mean, this works at... Sbarro Pizza. They have like an Italian, like almost like a
buffet kind of thing.
Yeah, and you go and you go and order your food, and then you just go and take it, and you fucking sit down.
Yeah,
and then they go, "Oh, you got to pay for that." Like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I pay after I eat. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm a fucking moron.
I'm a fucking moron.
I'm sorry, I thought you pay after you're done eating this.
Yeah,
if you're walking out the door, I'm so sorry. I thought you pay Tuesdays. I thought you come back every Tuesday and pay for the meal you had last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. You're going to call the cops on me? Here, here's the $8.
It doesn't matter.
You need the $8.
Just give it to them.
As long as you got the $8, nobody's fucking, you know.
Who cares? Yeah, I would respect somebody if they stole like that from me and then came back in. I'd be like, listen, you got me. You know, you're not going to get me again, but you got to fucking keep the money. You got me. You know,
good
I get it.
Good for you.
Good for you, man. It's like people want to get bent out of shape for $8.
That's not a really good scam. That's just sort of being...
Just being born and raised in New York.
Being a poor person. You're born in New York. And you go to a fucking deli. You go, oh, I don't got to pay for this. I'm just guys having a conversation with this coworker. You just walk away. I'm sorry. I was in my head. I was listening to music. I wasn't even paying attention. Here's $8.
Here's $8. Who cares?
That's not a good scam. It's a great advice to give to a child.
Lewis is on an $8 diet right now where everything he eats has to cost $8.
Here's $8.
You can't go keto for $8.
You can.
You can?
You guys could cook at home.
Yeah. I just can't get into. I don't care about dieting anymore.
I'm so fat right now, dog.
Same with me.
I'm just, no, you look good, though. You're handsome. You wear your weight well.
You're 38 waist, too. I saw. I'm a 38. Yeah. 38, 32.
Yeah, but I'm a 38 and I got a muffin top. You're fucking.
No, when I take off my shirt, it's brutal, dude. Yeah. I have a brutal body. It's like a truly, like girls are completely let down. They're like, why do you have tits? I didn't think you, like girls are always like, oh my God, you're so jacked. It's like, and then I take my shirt off. They're like, casting director said the best thing to me once. He said, you know who you are, man? You got leading man face, best friend body. And I was like, you can't get cast like that. So pick one. Either be the best friend or be the leading man. Your body has to match your head. And right now it doesn't.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody just put my head on somebody else's body. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I got to get back. I'm going back to the gym now and I got to just get a new program.
Because you can get ripped.
Yeah, like, I've been. Yeah.
So quick, man.
Yeah, I will be ripped again this spring. People are like, dude, you're getting fat again. Yeah. Have you not been paying attention for the past 8 years of my life?
You do this constantly.
Every winter I get fat. Every spring and summer I get jacked.
So when you get jacked, like it's no mistake. Like it's 30, 40, 50 days in a row, no fuck ups. You know what I'm trying
to say? Yeah, I mean, I'll do a cheat meal or a cheat day here and there. But my problem now is I've gone through the motions of getting in shape a few times now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done things like Insanity and P90X and gone into and fucking MMA training camp. And I've fucking, you know, I've done like real deal workout programs, bodybuilding type stuff. And I've sort of hit a wall where I'm not motivated by those things. I need something new to kind of challenge myself.
Right.
So.
Right.
I think I'm going to look into like some bodybuilding type shit and just get fucking really ripped.
Yeah, because I feel the same way where it's like I've gotten in shape and then lost it so much that now I'm motivated to get in shape, but I'm like, I'm going to lose it again. Because there was time in 2014 I got in shape. I was like 205. I was boxing with Sergio Chacon
a
lot, and I felt great. And I remember saying it to the mirror. I said, Chris, you fucking got back. Don't lose it now. And about 3 weeks later, I had gained about 10 pounds. <tits. laughs> It just, the tits were slowly coming back. I just don't
care. You're talking to yourself with your stomach. Chris, don't lose it.
But it's almost like as comedians, like we almost need some kind of obstacle subconsciously. And I feel like that's my obstacle.
I think some people don't have the same type of struggle. I think Zach is just happy being a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
I think some people, they see.
Hey, you know, I stopped drinking during the week. I'm trying.
Yeah, do you have blood pressure and cholesterol issues though?
No,
see, that's,
good.
See, and that's, and if that's, so it's like, who cares what you look like? Like I'm way less than you, but I got major blood pressure and cholesterol issues. So it's Yeah.
Yeah, I yeah, it's really hard to sort of stay motivated. That's why, you know, you got to find whatever it is. If you guys, I mentioned it on the last show that I'm looking for a program that'll fucking get me like crazy. I want to get like jacked this time. Right. I want to look the best I've ever looked with my shirt.
How does Justin Silver stay ripped? Does he really work hard at it? Is it genetics?
He works out. It's genetics. He works hard, but he also
he's hiding. He's gay. He's in the
diet.
Closet.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, if you're trying to fuck men.
Yeah,
you have.
And if you
to,
keep, he uses that as motivation. I've always, as soon as I saw Justin, I was like, oh yeah, this fucking guy.
If you take a dick in the ass, do you know the type of core workout that is?
100%.
It's just fucking all abs. You gotta contract, release.
Whatever
contract,
motivates you.
Release, contract.
Yeah.
Release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like an ab roller.
Because 38 waist is like, it's, we're just like, we can get pants, but like they may have our size, may not have
it's
our
not
size.
It's not the waist is not the issue. My fat legs are the issue. So it's there's only a cut of Levi's. I wear Levi's jeans.
Yeah.
And that's the only jeans that I wear because they have the numbers. They make it easy, dog. You know your cut. You know what the fuck you like. I can get in a couple different colors, materials. But fucking that's it.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Like having like I have like a lunch lady ass, and having like that kind of ass. Like Vecchione suffers from the same fate. We have like that Italian just fat ass. It's not masculine at all. Like if I had a big gut, then tits would be okay as long as I got a skinny waist. But like a woman doesn't want to like like sometimes girls look at me like I wish I had your lower half.
Here's
that's
what
not
women,
hot.
Women don't want men that are talking like this.
Right.
That's the truth. The woman wants a man who says, who gives a fuck?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's, and I'm self-conscious. I'm fucking, but there's nothing hot about, there are guys that are in way less shape than you or I that women think are sexy as fuck, and it's just because they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's true. I mean, I think, confidence is, I mean, girls don't really care. I mean, I've been women. I'd be like, look at my tits, and they're like, oh, I didn't even notice until you said it.
Yeah,
you know.
But now I'll never not see them.
Yeah, now I'll never not see them. I mean, look at Dante Nero. He bangs puss.
Yeah,
he's got a fucking big fat ass.
He does have a big fucking.
He's got a
rump-a-dump.
Big fat rump-a-dump.
Yeah,
rump-a-dump.
We have people calling with scams. Are there any other emailed in scams or no? One more. All right, so let's take one of the callers. 573 gas line. Scam that Jew. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your scam?
Arthur, you're on the line.
Oh, what's happening? This is Arthur. I had a scam.
Yeah, what's your scam?
So what somebody suggested to me the other day, what they do is, that's not what they do, but what they had an idea is you start a fake podcast and you could charge local rappers, you know, everybody knows local rappers suck and everybody hates them, charge them like $50 each to give them an interview for exposure, and there you go. You get $50 each from a bunch of whack ass rappers, and that's the scam.
All right, thanks, Arthur. It's a terrible scam.
Yeah,
terrible scam.
Anger black.
Great
scam. Great.
That wanna rap about killing white boys that are scamming them. Dude, that's a terrible scam, Arthur.
Yeah.
Start a fake podcast and charge them to interview. That's terrible. We're going to probably stop these.
Well, because
their
publicist would know, like, or whomever they would know, they would ask how many viewers. You know, they would
even if they have
questions.
A publicist. The podcast doesn't come out, and now this person's like, "All right, give my fucking $50 back, you bitch."
Yeah,
you whack bitch.
Doesn't make sense.
This is why we get a lot of scams that don't even make it to the show. So this is why we usually don't have call-in scams. But we'll try one more. Let's see if we can hit luck here. Go ahead,
Aaron. You're on the line.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Aaron? What's your scam?
I'm calling in from Fresno, California. It's a decent scam. It's not the best, but I figured some people could take advantage of it. It's kind of similar to the Life Proof case, but it's with JanSport backpacks.
I like JanSport. You bring me back. Nostalgic. I know JanSport. You gotta tell me.
Yeah, man. So it's you know, you guys, you can find these backpacks everywhere, like yard sales, thrift stores, stuff like that, for like $1, $2.
Yeah.
Or you just have one laying in your closet somewhere. And basically, JanSport has a thing where you could send in any backpacks a lifetime warranty, and they'll, if it's destroyed beyond repair, they'll send you a brand new one. And you're able to get a brand new backpack with the tags attached. Or I've done this several times. I've turned around and sold them on eBay and made like $30-$40 sometimes.
That's not bad.
Not a bad scam.
It's not a bad scam, Gems. Well, yeah, I got one right now for $5 on Poshmark.com. Yeah, so I could buy this for $5 and then go and tear it up, put a hole in the bottom of it, right?
Yeah.
Now, when they say
destroyed beyond repair, how How destroyed does it have to be?
Can I just send it them a JanSport backpack
all you
full
do
of
is
shit?
All you got to do is rip some seams, cut some, you know, cut a few rips in the scissors, maybe rip one of the straps off, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I like it. All right, it's not a bad scam. Thank you very much, Aaron. It's not bad. It's a little bit much. It's not, here's what that scam is good for, right? Keep that one in the back of your head.
Right.
You're going to run into a JanSport backpack at one time. You're going to remember.
It's a rainy day scam.
It's a rainy day scam. Yeah. You happen to be like, oh, shit, there's a JanSport backpack in my attic. I didn't even know I had. Let me just go fucking do this.
You know what I've done? It's not a scam. I fell into the scam, but I utilize it now.
We fall into all the scams.
Because Amazon has got so much money out of Bezos, they just don't care. When I go Amazon Fresh, when I order my groceries, this happened 6 months ago. My blueberries had opened.
Smashed up.
They smashed up. And
ruined other things.
Somebody
sent in the scam, by
the way. I didn't even say it ruined things. I just emailed them and said, hey, can I have more blueberries? And they refunded me the whole $250 grocery amount. And then I did it again. I said, I cracked an egg. They don't even want proof. I just said, one of the eggs cracked. Refund again. So I've gotten like 3 or 4 shipments of groceries 100% for free.
And nothing cracks this time.
And nothing cracks.
You just scam.
They're not even asking for it. They're not even asking for proof. They're just like, because it doesn't matter.
Because somebody sent us that scam and said they asked for a picture, but it maybe was through Fresh Direct. So you're saying Amazon groceries.
For me, I haven't been asked.
That's incredible.
Maybe it's changed now because I couldn't believe that they weren't asking for anything. And it's just right on my Amazon account, refund the full thing.
It's beautiful, and they make so much money that that's
doesn't
part
matter.
Of it's a tax write-off. It's just that loss side of it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I think a lot of these businesses, they factor in stealing. They're like, we know you're going to steal.
Yeah. I like that. That's a solid scam. You don't have to pay for groceries. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to order groceries. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to order $100 worth of groceries. I'm going to say the eggs were cracked when they came in my bag. See if I can get a full refund.
We'll see. And then if they make you send a picture, it's racist because they got last name Gomez.
That's true. I'm
going to
say that. I'm going to send them this podcast.
White guys more. Yeah, absolutely. Do it.
We have another one on the email. We have another phone in.
Oh yeah, this is Tom. He says he could scam Patreon.
Ooh,
I like it. All right, put him through.
Go ahead, Tom.
Am I canceling at the end of the month?
Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the Real Ass Podcast. What's your scam?
Tom, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Tom. What's up, baby?
Hey, Lewis. What's up, brother? I'm sure you guys are working on this, but you got to get like the sound of the podcast on the background because I don't know what the hell's going on. But anyway, I know what's going on, so I'll catch up.
Okay.
So anyway.
What's going on with Patreon?
So, thanks. All right, I know you're working on it. All right, look, so my scam is this. So you come to New York, you grow a mustache, and you live with an Asian family. Then you start a podcast where you whine about liberal shit most of the time, but you're pretty funny also. You make some money on Patreon and then disappear to probably a Southeast Asian country where you can bang little boys.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm assuming he's talking about
that's
Nick Mullen.
That's the Nick Mullen scam.
The Nick Mullen scam. I got it. You got it. Thank you very much. Nick Mullen, by the way, I found out that he's alive. He's not dead. Yeah. I guess there was like a suicide attempt or something. It was like, I don't know.
He tried to kill himself?
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, man. He's doing well.
Yeah. But whatever. Stavros. But yeah, I don't. Like, it's not my place to tell his business. But he.
You'd kill Stavros too.
He's going to be. We all said if somebody was going to try to kill themselves, it should be Adam. Everyone collectively feels that way.
Right.
But, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Nick. We it's a fucking.
Suicide.
The way he tried
like
to
cancer,
do it, too.
It's the same thing.
The way he tried to do it was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's not my place to talk about it, Chris.
All right.
It's fucked up. I don't want to get into it.
Well, what are you going to do?
All right. What was the final scam that got emailed in?
It's a wine tasting scam. You go to
who's it from? Give me a little more.
Sorry, Michael Schnapper, S C H N A P E R. I don't know. Go to any wine spot that does tastings, Cooper's Hawk or whatever. Order a wine tasting and keep substituting wines on the tasting list for something else on the menu. They won't be able to keep track of how many drinks you had or won't give a shit. Either way, you'll be able to drink way more than you originally had on the list. All you can drink, enjoy, doggy.
I sort of missed it. It fell apart in my head as I was listening. Can you explain it in layman's terms?
So basically what he's saying is a lot of these restaurants will have like a specific wine tasting where, you know, they'll have, you know, three Merlots or whatever. And you just keep substituting, say, you know, instead of this one, can I try this one? Can I try this one? And eventually you'll try more than the nine wines that are on the list and the waiter just won't keep track.
They can't keep track. That's a lot, though. To say $20 on wine, it's a bit much.
I agree.
I think a wine tasting is a great date.
Right.
First date for a check, take her a wine tasting.
That's nice.
Get a little drunk. It's kind of fun. Yeah.
I mean, hotels, like we scam hotels all the time. Like, you don't have to ever pay for the movies you buy.
You just say it didn't come
through? Well, you just say it's blurry, and they have no proof otherwise. And
also,
every
UFC pay-per-view, if you just call UFC and say, hey, my screen went dead, I'm not paying for this during the main event.
No problem.
Like, there's no way for them to check that
it
didn't happen.
That's a business that factors in all this shit, because most people don't do that, but the people that do, they say, fuck it.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They're going to argue that you watched the UFC event? No, my fucking TV went out. No, it didn't. We were watching through a fucking thing. Nope, sorry. No. Sorry, bitch, you weren't here.
Yeah.
Get my fucking money.
Yeah, now you're spying on me without my consent. Here's another issue. So just give me the money back and this all goes away.
We won't say nothing.
Seriously. I mean, what are you going to, you know?
This is an Italian thing to say. Give the money back and it all goes away.
Yeah. Just stop it.
I like, I'm going to give the award this week. I think the airline ticket scam is a winning scam right there, especially for me. I'm very, I travel a lot.
Can you explain it one more time quickly? Because I tuned out a little bit as well on that.
So what you do is.
I want to know.
Yeah, if you have to cancel or change a flight, what you do is they have, all airlines have within their policy a clause for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. They're not going to charge you the fee or whatever, and they'll just change your flight. So you just fake a doctor's note. You just get your doctor's letterhead, or you just make it go on Photoshop or pay a friend to do it. And you just change your flight, send them the note, and that's that. There's no way they can't call and ask the doctor, is this a real medical condition? The doctor can't give out that information to a fucking some airline bitch. Hi, I'm Maureen from Delta. Is this guy really a fucking... No, sorry, bitch.
Okay. Good scam.
It's a solid, solid scam.
Solid scam, because it's cost $200 to change these flights
sometimes. $200, just change them. It's crazy.
It's bullshit.
And also, I didn't realize this, if you don't show up for a flight, they cancel the rest of your trip.
Yeah.
Found out that out the hard way.
By the way, one of my friends is a pilot, you know, like all this government shutdown. He said he was flying from California to Michigan, and the air traffic controller didn't make the news because, like, you know, they don't want to be in an uproar. He said the air traffic controllers basically said when you leave, you know, you basically pick up air traffic control each, you know, zone, whatever it is. That's how it works. You're on with a different person every whatever hour or, you know, few minutes, whatever it is. He said for two zones in a row, air traffic controls just refused to – they wanted to make like an example of someone. They refused to tell the flights where to go. So he said it was just pure luck that we didn't go – I didn't crash head-on with another plane in the middle of the air because they were so outraged that they weren't getting paid that they were like, we're at work, but we're striking and let the pilots figure it out themselves. Fuck you, Trump. They wanted to like make an example.
Well, if two planes crash, murder. That is murder.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said.
What do you want me to say? You're going to murder 600 people to make a point?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. And the pilot said, he said, if that would have happened, those people would go to jail for murder.
They'd go to jail.
They were told that.
As they should.
They said, if you were showing up to work and refusing to do your job because you're not getting paid, but you're there, you're liable for whatever happens and you'll be prosecuted.
Agreed.
But now it's like, I guess they're going to get back pay, right? I would imagine.
Maybe. That's fucking really scary, though.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't even think of that. Everyone's talking about TSA. Oh, get a bomb through. He said, which, you know, could happen, but still most likely not because they're putting it through the machines. He said, but the air traffic controllers, if they started boycotting too, we would be so fucked. He said, because we're going 600 miles an hour, we with no eyes.
Yeah.
It's just what they tell us to do.
That's crazy. That's
like,
really
when
scary.
When we're going up, like, you know, they pick lanes. Like, we'll specifically be at 35,900 feet because there's a flight at 34,900 feet that you'll never feel that if we're on the same path.
It's crazy. It's a scary. That whole flying is terrifying. Yeah. I try not to look into it. Every time I'm on a flight, I just start Googling things to be worried about. If you hear on a flight sounds, noises.
Yeah.
And it's all of them, to be honest with you. If you ever hear a sound that you're not supposed to hear on a flight, like a that's something breaking on your flight and you might die.
Yeah.
Just know that. This is not a game.
Right.
If your fucking car is making a fucking weird wobbling on one side, you wouldn't go, that's just supposed to happen. Yeah. Sometimes that happens in my car. No, something's broken.
Dude.
Something's fucking broken.
3 weeks ago, I was on a flight from Aspen to Dallas. And the flight landed, and
this kid.
Well, and I was opening up for Sal Vulcano, so I was just going. I was doing the Impractical Jokers fucking tour. The flight landed, and smoke started to fill the whole cabin. everything. And I was emergency exit, so I had to lift the emergency door. Like the you think like flight attendants and people, like, they'll stay calm. The flight attendant, it was fucking chaos.
No.
I swear to God, the flight attendant's like, open the door, 13D, open the door, open the fucking door.
No way.
And I swear to God, I just knew.
Open the fucking door.
She was like, do you know what to do? And I was like, yeah. I just looked, and you lifted up the plastic thing, it says pull the handle down, the fucking door shot off. Ramp came down.
Whoa. And Sal Volcano was on the other side of the headphones laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Laughing way too hard.
Yeah, yeah. That was my punishment. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
And it was crazy, man. And it was nerve wracking. It was like, you know, and we had to leave our bags on the overhead. It was a whole fucking procedure. People were like, nobody, the airline did not know what to do. We got, they had a bus come onto the runway and take us into the airport. The people who were there, like, where are your bags? We were like, well, you tell us, you work for the airline.
Because they're all just idiots. I know a girl who's a flight attendant.
Yeah. They don't know.
She's a moron.
No idea.
She's a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe she is. I met her on Tinder. She fucked me. She's not bright.
She's a moron.
She's a fucking moron.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say here? This is not a class of people that should be in charge.
Yeah.
Even pilots. I've never met a pilot and be like, this guy's really fucking brilliant.
My friend who's a pilot who I just mentioned, I was in New York and he was in California. He was like, what time is it there? I was like, you should fucking know what time it is here. You should know it's a 3-hour difference. You're a pilot. He was like, what time is it there? I was like, what?
How are you in charge of this giant Airbus?
And you're asking me, he's like, I always forget if it's 3 or 4 hours. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
Guy.
If you're a pilot, it should be like NASA. You should have to be 6'6".
Yeah.
You should have to fucking have 8 degrees. You have to be brilliant. But they will hire any fucking...
Anybody.
I guarantee you I could become a pilot 6 months from now. If I wanted to be a pilot, I'd be a fucking pilot in 6 months. Easily.
Yeah, Bill Burr taught himself how to fly a helicopter on YouTube.
It's nothing.
It's fucking nothing. He could just
nothing.
I mean, he's a very smart guy, of course, but it's like, you know.
Not
but
that
it's like
smart.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Burr?
Yeah. All right, so look, the scam, winning scam, airline scam, I love it. Scam that, Joe.
Scam that, Joe.
You email scamthatjoe@gmail.com to claim your T-shirt. There's only 7 or 8 of those T-shirts in the world that even exist.
Interesting.
A fucking very special shirt. I met a guy in Boston. He wore it.
Yeah. It's like a novelty item.
It's great.
I like it, dude.
I was fucking thinking about airline stuff a second ago. What was I going to ask? Fuck.
Dude, I can't get...
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, I have this guy. He hit me up again. I got to look at my Instagram things because he hit me up afterwards. He told me he was after a show and he asked me and Kim our flight numbers. He's like, oh, I work in air traffic control.
Right.
And he was like... And then his buddies with him, they're all fucked up. They're all on alcohol and drugs. And they're like, yeah, dude, he's a fucking man. He's like, anytime I need to land on time or leave on time, I just tell him my flight. And I get there 30 minutes early every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, shut up. You can't just fucking do that for your friends. Dude,
Dougie,
we told him our flight numbers. Both me and Kim. It's like, oh, well, just, turns out good news, everyone. We're going to be taking off a few minutes early today. Both of us. We're on separate flights. Me and Kim were both on separate flights. Both landed 35, 40 minutes early. It was fucking crazy. So I got to hit him up again because I'm just going to give him, I'm going to unapologetically, listen, sir, whatever your name was, an Indian guy, okay, Sanjay or whatever your name was, I will give you a free Gas Digital membership and a Scam That You shirt because you're a part of my fucking scam here. I love it. So I'm going to hit you up or hit me up again if you're listening to this and let me know because I need to start giving you my flight numbers and it was the best thing.
And how did, I don't understand though.
Because he's in charge of who's leaving out of what gate on time.
Wow. But how can he still like override? Isn't there like
another
traffic
airline
control stuff?
I have no idea. It didn't matter what airline. He said, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. He can fucking do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Does he call another guy and he's like, oh, I got a buddy who's leaving out of fucking San Francisco. Make sure you know, hold that other plane. Like, does he go through that much effort? Or is it like 6 people that are in charge of all? I have no idea. I have no idea how that whole process works. There could be, I mean, how many air traffic controllers are there?
I don't know, but that's it's an air traffic control. If they ever did a documentary about that, we would be,
interesting.
Airline, be in fear. My friend
Vaughn,
it's a school in Queens. It's like a very well-known air traffic control school.
Mm.
And my friend, you know, was an air traffic controller for 10, 15 years. He went to that school and he said he can't tell countless times the computer was not being manned. You know, it was just like somebody was in the bathroom. Somebody went down to smoke a cigarette. Planes in the air. They have no idea. But they're like, these guys got, you know, 150 miles before they're near each other. I'm going to go take a quick smoke. You know, it could have got caught in the elevator. Anything could happen.
Human error. You're like, shit, 15 miles. I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
Yeah.
So, well, that's why I think there's probably less people involved. It's probably less people involved in air traffic. See if we answer that question. How many people work as air traffic controllers at any given time? Because if I had to guess, the more people you have in those positions,
yes,
the more room for human error you're going to have. So you can't have 1,000 people manning the skies and trying to create a communication system between everybody. It's got to be 6 dudes.
Yeah.
And I think this Indian guy's one of them. I don't know.
He might be one of them.
I'm pulling the shit out of my... I have no idea how it works.
I don't know. But I know that that's a terrifying thing.
Yeah. Yeah, flying is terrifying in general. Anyway, look, we're going to wrap this one up. This has been a really fun show, Chris. I love having you on every time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, guys, February 2nd, I'll be out at Poughkeepsie. That's next... Is that Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
That's this Saturday coming up. This Saturday night, I'll be in Poughkeepsie. Laugh it up, Poughkeepsie, with Kim Congdon. So if you guys are in the area, come the fuck out. Represent. You'll be smoking mad blunts after the show. And that's it. Really, that's it. Check out my other pods. Check out Zach and Miko's Midnight Spook Show. We will be back on Wednesday with Shane Gillis and Tommy Pope, right?
Love Tommy Pope.
No Shane?
Definitely Tommy. Shane not confirmed yet.
Okay, waiting on to hear back from Shane. All right, goodbye.
That's all, folks.